Hey, what's going on, everyone? This is John back with another episode of the Belgian Waffle Show. We're just a few days away from Cedar City. Just like that, we're back. Does not seem that long ago that we were there last year, kicking things off during those crazy times. But so super stoked on this episode. We got Stefano Barbary. He's an old friend, just all around good guy. He's got a wealth of experience. He's done some BWRs. He was top 10 at Cedar City last year. So, yeah, we kind of gave him a chat. Kind of talked about the evolution of the sport, you know, his background, his thoughts on it now, you know, being able to work with great partners. He's got some good brands behind him that he'll be with at Cedar City. So, yeah, we just kind of get a little overall chat and looking forward to this weekend and knocking out a couple more of these prior to the big weekend. So let's jump into it and hear more from Stefano. All right, what's going on, everyone? Welcome back to another Belgian Waffle Show. We got a good buddy on here, an old friend and racer. We got Stefano Barbary, who's no new rider to BWR. He's got some experience, so we're gonna have a chat with him prior to Cedar City. So, Stefano, what's going on? How's everything going in your world right now?
Pretty good, man. Just, you know, getting towards the later part of the season now. Well, first of all, I really appreciate you guys having me on the podcast. And, you know, give me a chance to chat and talk about, you know, what I got going on right now.
Oh, of course. No, you're someone good to really talk to. So you've kind of done so much with the road racing. You've kind of seen what happened as far as possibly like, you know, teams folding up, races going away. You've navigated this kind of gravel new frontier world and, you know, you've got your own partners and doing the events. So yeah, like, shit, we could talk for days with everything you've kind of gone through.
Yeah, man. Thank you.
So I guess to kind of get what was kind of your first, and I know you did Cedar City last year, but was that your first BWR? Have you done the San Diego ones as well?
Yeah, I think if I remember correctly, I remember riding with you at the 2017 San Diego race when Jesse won it.
Yeah, I think that was the first one I did.
Yeah, so yeah, I came down there to ride together with Jesse. That was actually a pretty funny story, but yeah, he ended up winning the whole thing and, you know, got to be a part of that and help, you know, my brother win the race. So like, that was pretty exciting. So, but yeah, that was also my first experience with the gravel thing.
So when you did it then, because okay, that's funny. That was my first one. That was your first one. You know, I think that was right before California. So I kind of like fun ride, maybe kind of like a Fondo style, but I kind of just went into it, just like, you know, be a good day to get some training in. And now fast forward to obviously like all the races have kind of gone away in the US. There's a much more serious factor to it. Obviously they're bigger. There's more money. There's more sponsors, more media coverage. Like, How did you feel going into it then compared to like how you look at like BWRs now?
Yeah, it's way different. Like I said earlier, I've been through a couple different phases. Like I grew up racing mountain biking, and then when I was 19, all the money in mountain biking disappeared and went to road racing. And I kind of, you know, I had a good opportunity to do that full time, go to road racing. I did that for 15 years. And I think in 2017, you know, I was living in SoCal as well. And, you know, the whole BWR thing was like a cool, I don't know, man, looking back now, it seems like it was like a cool local ride race thing to do. And it was like, I don't have anything else going on this weekend. And like Jesse was super excited to go do. So he's like, let's go do it together, whatever. Cool. You know, he actually like took out some thought about it and put some planning into, put some thinking into like planning as far as like equipment and whatever. I was like, I'm just going to ride my road bike with like train tires and whatever, you know, like this is just kind of like a big, weird, almost dumb, big group ride with 1,000 people in it. you know, it wasn't, there wasn't a whole lot of focus on it. You know, maybe a few guys were like, it would be cool to win the stages, because anytime you put a finish line in front of people, people are going to race for it anyways, you know. But that has changed a lot. I didn't do it in 2018, and then I did it again 2019, and all of a sudden, like, you know, the event doubled in size. You know, there's actually like media coverage for it. It like started to become a big thing, and then this year it was just like a whole different level. You know, like, just, I don't even know, like, sometimes 4,000 people out there. Like, the expo areas were crazy packed. Yeah, it's just super exciting. But, you know, it's the biggest event in the U.S. right now. You know, this thing that you and I both looked at, like, oh, let's go do this good training ride, you know, and all of a sudden it's like, you know, it's bigger than any of the events that we had as A goals for ourselves that year, you know.
No, it's totally cool to see, man. It's a trip to see how it's definitely grown, and obviously, like, you and I did the first year together, but I was the same way. I was like, all right, cool, like, last minute, I'll do it. Brought my training bike, tubes, you know, like, I ended up having, like, I wish I would have done a little more prepare, because I got, like, three flats, broke a wheel, but, like, that was, I was just like, oh, that's going to be fun, go down, see some friends, and go hard for 7 hours, and, you know, but now it's like, now it's like a legit, serious, big event race, you know, in the States.
Yeah, no, guys are coming from Europe, like,
that's insane.
Flying across the world to go do this thing that used to be a group ride for SoCal guys. So, yeah, it's super cool.
No, it's definitely wild. So how did you kind of find yourself in this transition, as far as, you know, I'm sure, you know, I kind of have an idea of how it went, but, like, you know, you've kind of stepped away from full time, because, I mean, you're I remember one time we were, you and I were riding together, like, on one of the stages in Gila, and you told me, like, how many times you've done Gila.
Yeah,
and I was like, holy shit, you've done this so many times, it's insane. Like, you had a long, you know, good run at, like, racing at that level, and then, you know, kind of doing this stuff for fun now. But so how did that go for you?
So like I said earlier, I was racing mountain bikes growing up. And then I turned pro mountain bikes when I was in high school. So this is back in, I think I got my pro license at the end in 2 on the mountain bikes. And then in 2003, I started doing some road racing for training, and started winning pretty quickly. The next year I signed for Jonathan Vauder's team, which, you know, has grown a million times over, to become EF Cannondale now, or whatever they're called now, EF Education Cannondale. Mm-hmm. So I rode for them to 5, you know, and then at that point I decided that racing in Europe wasn't really what I wanted to do. So I decided to stay and race domestically. You know, I ended up on Toyota United, which, you know, can argue is the biggest domestic team of all time, at least budget wise it was. Anyways, fast forward, man, like, by 2017, I had done Gila, I think 13 times. I think there's a couple guys that have started it more than I did, but I think I have the most, Cascade starts.
Okay. How many is that?
I think I had like 12 or 13 or something like that. Anyways, man, like, so then 2017, you know, like, things start to go a little bit, getting a little worse for road cycling. Some races are folding, and I end up with a big gap on the schedule, and I'm like, what do I do with, you know, these 2 months, you know, with nothing on the road calendar? I ended up going and doing the Carson City Epic Rides race, which, you know, now I live in Reno, actually. I'm not in SoCal anymore.
Oh, okay. I didn't know
that. So Carson City is, you know, like, the start of it is 15 miles from my house now. But anyways, I ended up doing that. And then soon after, I think I did, or maybe right before, whatever, which way the calendar was, I did the BWR race, And I was having a lot of fun doing those races. And it was one of those things where, like, I go out there, I don't really know what to expect. Most of the guys there were guys that were racing, you know, off-road. So, like, it's people that I had never crossed paths with. So I was able to go into these races without knowing what the course was like, without having any expectations of, you know, a result, you know, because, like, you do Gila 13 times, man, I can tell you where the break is going to go next year on, you know,
on the
race. Like, I can point out to you, like, the exact section of the course, like, it's gone, the break's gone here 12 times, you know, like, so it kind of loses the fun. It's like I'm just doing the same thing over and over again. You know, I've won the races I was going to win. And, you know, at some point you're looking at, you know, can I go up two spots overall or, you know, something minimal. Where, you know, I'm going into now in 2017, I'm going to BAWR or Epic Rides or one of the, you know, High Cascades or one of these races without knowing who I'm racing against. Or what even, like, how aid stations work, you know, like, everything is new to me and fresh and it's exciting. And it's just like, you know, it's all of a sudden I'm learning everything again. And I found that was really exciting to do. And then at the end of that season, I was kind of like, I'm kind of over the road racing. The teams are going away. There's no money. We're all doing this for, like, barely no money. And, like, what am I going to get out of doing Gila 14 for the 14th time that I couldn't get out of it, you know, the first 13? You know what I mean? Like, so do something new, do something different. And I decided to switch and go back into doing mountain biking full time. I reached out to a few companies, you know, some people that I knew, because, you know, when you're been around sport for that long, hopefully you're smart enough to make a couple connections along the way. The Black Bibs, who was my clothing sponsor in 2017, the road team was on, like, they jumped on right away. Like, basically, you know, hey, whatever you need, we got you. And, you know, and that was cool. So I reached out to a couple more, and since then just been growing that and adding different companies to my group of supporters and sponsors. And then, you know, 2018 was a lot of mountain biking, and then 2019 a bit more, you know, a little bit more gravel. And then last year, you know, how last year a lot of stuff got erased, but I still managed to get out there and do Cedar City last year. I was top 10 there last year. And then, you know, this year was actually more gravel racing than biking. So it's been really good, man. And yeah, Physique, you know, who's one of the series sponsors, is one of my big sponsors. So I'm coming out to BWR, you know, to participate with them and, you know, be part of the expo and just, you know, do some cool stuff with Physique. They're a huge company, and it's exciting to see such a big company like that get more into gravel, you know, in such an early part of the sport.
Yeah, it's pretty wild to see, like, the influx of support from athletes, teams, you know, industry, like, companies, you know, really running with it. What, you know, you've done such a broad range from, you know, mountain biking, road racing, to now into this gravel segment. What are your thoughts overall on it? You know, from what you've gone through, what you've seen, to this emerging new, you know, segment within cycling, like, you know, what's your two cents when you sit back and look at it all as from, like, a whole?
I think it's really cool. I mean, it's mixing so many different things into one, because, you know, like, for example, when you and I were road racing together, I didn't really know anybody on the mountain bike side, you know, maybe a few names that were people that I used to race with back when, you know, I was mountain biking as a junior. But for the most part, it was like two completely separate sports where Now with gravel, you know, you're getting some guys from road, some guys from mountain biking mixed in. And then, you know, and then as far as on the sponsor, on these company sides, you know, like there's such a big surge in bike sales from this gravel segment that, you know, you can see the ones that are a bit ahead of the curve and a bit some of the companies that are a bit slower to react to that. But, you know, talking to all my sponsors for next year, I think everybody is looking at it like gravel is a big segment now. You know, even some of the European companies, which are usually a little bit more traditional, are like, no, gravel is where, you know, gravel is where it's at. So, you know, new bikes, new equipment, all this stuff. And I like the equipment side. I like that kind of, you know, like getting kind of, you know, go full nerd on the equipment stuff. So like, I like the helping design tires or seeing why something works or why it doesn't, or, you know, bikes and whatever. And then having that extra thing where, you know, leading up to certain events, you kind of have to put some thought into like, what am I going to ride? Why am I going to ride this? Am I going to ride the physique road shoes or the mountain bike shoes or the gravel shoes? Like, what can I get away with? Which tire size? You know, like BWR San Diego, I don't think there's any person that I talked to that didn't start the conversation with like, hey, what tire are you running this weekend? Or, you know,
yeah,
like, that was like the biggest question. Like, you couldn't go anywhere without being asked that. So I like that. I like that a lot. Yeah.
No, it's funny. Like, just out of curiosity, cause, yeah, I'm, you know, I'm pretty removed from like the whole road scene now. Obviously, I just ride for fun and stuff at home, but you know, you're still, you know, I still hear too, but like the gravel, like, you know, new events or new sponsors, like, you know, it's just kind of like the talk, you know, of like the community almost. Do you hear anything about like the roadside of like new race, like races coming back or new races or this and that? Like, I just feel like everything is just like kind of gravel now, especially in the US. And like, I don't hear, like, I mean, I know we're kind of in like a weird time still with the whole, you know, what's going on with the COVID stuff, right. But like, I hear it's just always gravel stuff. And then like, I haven't heard anything about like, you know, a Cascade or a Gila.
Right.
You know, but I've heard so many new gravel things and new events like that. It's like, it's kind of just moved on.
Yeah. Like, you know, like, especially a little bit earlier when you started, most teams would have most road teams would have two separate crews that very rarely even overlapped. So you had your stage race guys and you had your crit guys, right? You and I were always on the stage race side,
yep.
Right? So we did a lot of the same stuff. So name how many stage races happened this year?
I mean, you said Joe Cascade, Martin, and I was like, holy shit, I haven't heard
the it name. Didn't happen.
I haven't heard Cascade in so long. Like, I completely forgot about that.
No, there's one stage race this year in the domestic, you know, in the domestic calendar. Yeah. So one. So like, if you're a stage racer, you basically did five race days.
Yeah.
Like, you know, okay, like that doesn't exist anymore.
One day's a crit, so, one day's a TT, and it's like you have three decent road races and like that. Yeah, that's
or
it.
Two. Sorry. Yeah, two. So like four days of racing there if you're a stage racer. So you can't even do that anymore. You know, so like your choices are either you can choose to be a 130-pound climber guy doing crits, or you can go do gravel races. Like, it makes it for a pretty easy decision there. I mean, as far as, you know, I see it, you know, not to say anything bad about the crit scene, because, you know, there is a little bit of I do hear a bit of noise there, like, mm-hmm. you know, what certain guys are doing, and there's a little bit, there's still a crit scene, but like, as far as like stage racing goes, like, it's pretty sad. It's at a pretty sad state, but, you know, I can't feel too bad, because, you know, it's just that Gravel is doing so well, you know, and then you have all these other things. You don't have to be like that traditional road racer anymore. You just have like choices now where, you know, when I started or when you started, it was kind of like, here's what, you know, here's your option. You either do these races or you go find a different sport where now you can do, you know, can do gravel. Mountain biking is actually doing really well. The endurance stuff is which is what I really enjoy is doing really well. You know, but unfortunately the road racing, the actual road racing, not, you know, not crits, but road races are really suffering. I don't think there's any road races left in SoCal anymore, as far as I know.
Yeah. I mean, like, I mean, I remember when I started, you know, I came into it not knowing anyone, just kind of brand new, but like there was kind of a path, you know. Obviously there's a healthy amount of road races between SoCal and NorCal and Arizona and Nevada that you could go get points to upgrade. And then you had the NRC calendar where it's like, okay, you can do that. And once you're a one, and then like, hopefully, you know, you race against, so you can show yourself against them. Yep. And go to like a healthy amount throughout the year and then get on the elite team. And then from there you try to go continental, but like there was a strategic path on how to move up. And
yeah,
that's how I kind of, cause I almost went,
the mountain, you know, it would take really, it could take you all.
Oh, go ahead.
Yeah. It could take you all the way to the world tour level where right now, if you're trying to get to the world tour level, you better hope that you're really good at 19 and you can make that jump from juniors or 19 years old, you know, to world tour. But like that whole middle, you know, race the regional races to NRCs to, you know, Tour Cali or Tour Georgia or whatever it was at the time, like that's all gone.
No, and I remember, so myself and Travis McCabe, we came like in kind of like the same year. We were both a little older. Right. I think we were both like 21 when we started. And like, and I mean, yeah, he made it to world tour. You know, obviously I didn't make it that far, but like, then you could do it. Obviously it was very hard, but like, and now it's like, unless you're like a really good junior and you can, yeah, maybe on the national team or like, you know, Lux program or if you want to go the road world tour route, if you come in 21 or so, like I feel like it's almost damn near impossible at this point. I mean, yeah, anything's possible, obviously, but like there, it's definitely a lot different. But I mean, it has opened the door to, you know, hey, if you're a good enough person riding these gravel events, you know, maybe you're savvy on social and content. Like, I mean, at the end of the day, like you could, you know, string together some sponsors, make a little cash flow, and basically,
right. Yeah.
I mean, the first year I raced professional for 5 Hour Energy Kenda, like I had zero salary. So
right,
it's not like,
I was, and
like,
then you probably got to 6, maybe you got to 12, yeah. You know, like, you know, it was rough, but like,
no,
I'm actually, you know, I'm making a living doing the gravel mountain biking thing now, you know, and I don't, it's a very untraditional way, you know, but like you said, if you have if you're doing cool stuff, whether, you know, having a bit of a social media presence, it doesn't have to be huge. I don't have like a ton of followers or anything like that, but like it's enough that, you know, I can help, you know, promote these different companies. But, you know, I'm at all the events, so I'm actually a real person. I'm not just a guy with 100,000 followers that, you know, is posting discount codes at the same time. Yeah, you know, exactly. Like I will be at BWR. I was at all these other events, you know, so I'm there in person. You can come and talk to me about products. The products I'm promoting or whatever, the new physique shoes or, you know, Kenda tires or whatever it might be, you know, we can have the conversation. And gravel is really cool because, you know, I might be at the start line standing next to somebody that is a customer for the products that I'm helping marketing, you know, so that person is able to, hey, man, like, oh, what are those, you know, what are those shoes? And I can explain to them, like, these are the new physiques and whatever, this is why they're cool, or, you know.
Yeah.
And
where
road racing, it's like you walk into, you get there in your bus and then you like walk out of the bus and get on your bike, you go to the start line, you race and you finish and you get back in the bus and you go home. or a hotel or whatever, you know, where we're there, we're, you know, we're hanging out, we're talking to people, you know, yeah. And there's way more people, you know, so.
No, totally. And I think from a brand company perspective, like, yeah, I mean, you can like sponsor, you know, an athlete now that's doing these gravel events, and yeah, they can, you know, whatever, use yourself an example, like you can be sponsored, they can, you know, help you out, and you can go line up and literally talk to these people, which are their consumers, straight up, and then also you're hanging out with them after the event, so it's this great mixture. Other than when, yeah, when we were racing, like, you know, when I remember when I did California, like I think it was my mom and like my girlfriend at the time, they wanted to come to the finish at like Laguna Seca. And they came to the bus, and literally, like, we rolled off the race, leaned up the bikes. I said hi for, like, 5 minutes. You know, Swanee gave me, like, my food and stuff. And they're like, all right, get back on the bus. We got to go. We have a drive. And I saw them for maybe 5 minutes. And I was, like, my family. And it was like, yeah, so don't even think about, like, consumers and other people. Like, unless you go do your local group ride, like, you're not going to, you know, see anyone other than, like, now you go to a BWR or any of these other events. Like, you're literally hanging out the weekend with people, lining up, doing pre-rides. Yeah. On the start line, I mean, talking to people throughout the 7-8 hour day, and then afterwards hanging out having beers. So yeah, from a brand perspective, they're all about it, which totally makes sense for them.
Yeah, and you know, it's actually really funny when you think back, but like when we were racing the UCI stuff on the road, right, we would finish the race, whatever, and then you remember they used to do like the race dinners, right? And like I remember for us, we were racing to the all the teams were racing to get that table that was closest to the buffet line, so that when they opened the dinner, you could get to the line fastest, you know, get your food, sit down, eat fast, and then race back to the hotel. Where these days, like, I'm encouraging everybody that's at these races to come and talk to me, and hey man, like, I will be at Physique all of Friday and all of Saturday at the expo, so like if anybody wants to come by and, you know, chat, like come by and chat, we can talk about your race, my shoes, or whatever else, like, you know, trade some race stories. So like, yeah, for a brand, it's, you know, very valuable to have somebody that has a personality, and it's not just like a name on a result sheet. And as a racer, it's great too, because, you know, now I have Physique at these races, and, you know, I'm part of their marketing, you know, they're thinking about me as like, hey, what can we do together? And not just like, hey, I'm sending you, you know, a couple shoes, like hit me up again, like when October rolls around, and, you know, let me know what you need for next year, you know, like, plus I can give feedback. Like, for example, I work super close with Kenda too. And, you know, I'm usually always on prototype tires there, and I can say, hey man, like, I really like this, but what a, you know, not so sure about this on this. And, you know, you can see those changes happen almost real time. And same with Physique, same with, you know, the Black Bibs and all these companies, you know, where when I was in road teams, like I had to go through, if I had a problem with a tire, I had to tell the mechanic, who was then going to tell the team director, who was then going to tell the team manager, who was then going to reach out to the guy from marketing at the tire company, who was then, you know, like, nothing ever happened.
Nothing happened.
Your feedback was useless. You, like,
yeah, ride these tires. Yeah. That's all we want you to ride anyways. That's what we budgeted for your team. That's all you get. Yeah, that's it.
Yeah, he just tell him you like the stuff, because otherwise you're just being a pain in the ass now. You know, like where now, you know, now you cut all those middle people, and like they want to know why stuff works, and they want to, you know, these companies, they want to make stuff better. And, you know, they value your opinion on certain stuff. So, you know, and that's what they're paying you for, not just to be like, oh yeah, best stuff I ever rode. And on my end, you know, I do not ride, I won't ride anything that I actually don't really like. You know, I have that choice to, you know, if there's a, you know, my my equipment partners are all companies that, I believe in or equipment that I believe in. You know, for whatever it is that I might be getting here and there, I can get that from a different company. And as far as like, you know, income, I'll get that from somewhere else. But what's the point of writing something that you're unhappy with, you know, where on a road team, they just give you a box full of stuff at the beginning of the year and like, go ride it, like it or not, whether it fits you or not, or you got blisters on your feet, like who cares?
No, I mean, that's
they, you know, they got paid. Yeah, they got paid.
The point about this, like I had about 1 year of racing, like the shoe just did not work with my foot. It gave me blisters, lost a toenail, like, but I couldn't say anything because I was like so stoked just to get on the team and be there. It's like, you don't want to be viewed as like a pain in the ass. And it's like, you just shut up and deal with it because that's just what you do at that level. But yeah, like nowadays you can just kind of like piece together what you want to ride. And, you know, obviously I think, especially when you're doing gravel, you definitely want to make sure like the stuff you're riding is what you're comfortable with because it's a lot rougher at times and you can feel it more. And so yeah, that it's just so funny how like, yeah, there's so many nuances like that. I mean, I completely forget about, them. You know, I started talking about this. I'm like, yep. So on point. So true. Remember? Yeah. This yeah. So
what, you know, and so, and then the other thing too, is that like, you know, because I like the products that I'm using, I'm actually excited to promote them. I'm not just like, yeah, I got to lie to my buddy here because, you know, this thing is a piece of crap, but like, I can't tell him it's a piece of crap because, you know, I'm going to get fired. It's like, no, I'm excited to write all this stuff. So like sometimes, you know, people reach out and say, hey, what do you think about this? And I'm like, you know, I feels weird because I got to, you know, I'm going to be like, it's, you know, my favorite, whatever part, you know, equipment. But like, I mean it because, you know, I have other choices. I could be doing, I could be riding something else, but I, this is what I choose to, you know, choose to ride. So it's cool. It's much better that way than it used to be. I, you know, you just have a choice to, and I can go to the events that I want to do. So the gravel thing is definitely, yeah, it's definitely where it's at for me, at least.
Yeah, it sounds like for a lot of people it is. What before we wrap this up, you know, obviously Cedar City is just a few days away, basically. What you know, are you going out there? You know, you were top 10 last year. Are you going out there to possibly do better? Like, you want to do well? You know, like, where's your mindset at right now going into the event this weekend?
Honestly, man, I'm hoping for a podium there. You know, it's hard to put a number, you know, so many things have to go right. But like, I think on a great day this year, you know, like I was saying earlier, you know, in the past, these races were so new, it was hard to really have any sort of expectations. But now, you know, a little bit more experience, I know what I'm getting into. I believe I have the right equipment. My form is better than it was last year. You know, I think everything is kind of clicking and really hoping for a podium. But, you know, see how it goes, man. You know, for all I know, something happens and, you know, top 10 again is the best result for that day. But, yeah, the ultimate goal is a podium there.
Awesome. Well, sounds like we'll have to do a little recap after. It's always fun to get before and after thoughts. But, yeah, dude, thanks for you know, jumping on this. It's always good to chat with you. You know, I've always gotten along through the years racing, and you also helped me a lot when I was racing. So I always appreciate that. But yeah, looking forward to seeing how everything goes for you this weekend, and you know, still following you along.
Yeah, man. Thank you very much for having me, and you know, letting me come in here and help promote Physique. They're, you know, a big sponsor of the event, and I'm excited to have them out there too. And yeah, let's catch up in person over there. And for anybody listening, stop by the Physique booth and come say hi and let me know your thoughts on the podcast, or you know, let me know how your race went, all that good stuff.
Sounds good. I'm sure I'll have a few people coming up and bugging you this weekend, or at least chatting with you for some of that 7-8 hours on that ride on Saturday. But
perfect, man.
All right, cool, man. Yeah, let's recap after. And yeah, as always, best of luck this weekend, and you know, we'll see you out there.
Thanks a lot, John. I appreciate it, man.
All right. Talk to you.
We'll catch up soon.